Hey guys, welcome to Sunset Church Podcast. We're a brand new church in Silicon Valley. My name is Yasmin and I'm one of the lead pastors here. Hey, if you want to hear more, don't forget to subscribe and text 77977 and download our app.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome Sunset. Who's excited for church today? As we said, next week is Labor Day. And so we are doing church at an alternate location. And I just want to remind you, in 4 weeks, we're having our one-year anniversary. I'm so humped. I'm pumped. The word's not even coming out. I'm so pumped. I have to announce it twice. Listen, when we started this church 11 months ago, there was 20 of us on a couch. And here we are 11 months later, and there's 110 people in this room. Listen, and there are 50 people that have accepted Christ. There is reason to celebrate what God is doing. And let me just tell you why I'm so excited. 50 people have given their life to Christ. And when we started this church, we started this church with a few core values. And most of you don't even know what those values are, which is why as a church we are going through them again. This series, Why I Love My Church, goes back to that couch 11 months ago. Many of you weren't there, but some of you were. And the heart behind this church, why another church in Silicon Valley, of all the places in America? Why another church? Why Sunset? And I want to take you back to that couch and those things that we talked about a year ago. Last week, we started this sermon series, and it was faith is my focus. Faith is our focus, that we are bet the farm thinking we will never insult God with small thinking and safe living. And today, I want to talk to you about this subject. And I got to tell you that this was probably one of the hardest sermons I've had to write in the last several months because this one is so dear to me. I had probably 20 pages of notes. I wanted to preach for an hour. How do I cut out what I want to say to express my heart? And so you have to forgive me if I'm speaking too fast because there's a lot to say. And I might have to yell a few times because I'm so passionate about this. Because if you can get what this value is about, listen, you won't just get information. You're going to get transformation. You're going to walk out different than you ever have before. And I want to begin with a question. Raise your hand if you've ever been to a restaurant, or if you've ever been to a hotel that was so excellent that you were inspired and you left different from that point forward. Come on. 5 years ago, my wife and I got married. And at the time, I was a bachelor. And when I got married, listen, the only hotels I went to were like Motel 6, right? I mean, I'm trying to save money. But if I want to stay married, I'm not going to take my wife there, right? All the married men said amen because they know. Happy wife, happy life. It's not in the Bible, but it's truth. So imagine I'm going to this resort. It's called Excellence Playa Mujeres. And I have a Motel 6 mindset. And so I've been in the plane for 6 hours. I've been in a van for an hour going to this resort. And as soon as we pull up, there are two men running to the car. I'm like, here we are. Day one, we're about to get mugged. Right? And they open the door. Mr. Ruhi, welcome. Congratulations on your marriage. I can get used to this. They don't even let me touch my luggage. Listen, they knew I was coming. As I walk through the front doors, they give me a warm hot towel to refresh myself and a mimosa. I'll take hers too, thank you very much. I didn't even check in. They were awaiting my arrival. Listen, they walked me to my room. The AC was on. There was a flower swan with rose petals everywhere. This place was excellent. Listen, most places, they'll clean your room once. This room cleaned it after breakfast, after lunch, and again after dinner. This place was so magnificent. Listen, I was forever changed. Let me tell you why. Years later, my wife and I would go to New York. We would go to Italy. And every time, my wife would be like, what do you think? It's all right. It's not excellence. See, that's the power of the spirit of excellence. When you experience it, you are never the same. It gives you a new vision, a new standard by which you judge everything else. And listen, I'm going to show you a guy in the Bible. His name is Daniel. He's going to give you a new vision of faith and obedience that you've never seen before. And you're going to leave here different. How important is excellence? Listen, there were two mega theologians. I mean mega theologians. Their names were Bill and Ted, and they once had an excellent adventure. And they said, be excellent. Let me read you what excellence means at this church. Excellence is giving God our best because he gave us his best. Excellence not only honors God, it inspires people. This is our spiritual act of worship. Listen, at Sunset, we are a bunch of nobodies that will love everybody, serve anybody, because we don't care about becoming a somebody. Listen, in Romans chapter 12, it says, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. What you don't realize was he was proving his point for the first 11 chapters of the glory of God, what he has done for you, how he died for you on a cross. And if all of that is true, live like this. And what I want to tell you is everything that we do is response to the first 11 chapters of what he did. And I want to tell you, excellence is easy to find in people. You can find it in the father who speaks to his kids differently for each one. Excellence is found in the employee who's had the same job for 10 years and they still come hungry. They still want to get better at their job. Excellence is found in the waiter who's so polite, so responsive that you don't even know that they're there. Excellence is found in the mother who's working two jobs. They're short on time, but they're big on love. And every opportunity they have, they'll speak life and hope over their kids. Excellence is found in the theme park employee who will go out of their way to ask you if you need directions, a la Disneyland, not Great America. How many know what I'm talking about? Excellence is found in the manager who will take everything that's under his care and leave it in better care than it was given to him. See, this church was planted with people who have a spirit, listen, of excellence. It's found in guys like Will, who showed up every Sunday morning for the last 11 months at 7 a.m. so that we could have church. No pay, there's no title, but we couldn't do church without guys like him. It's found in guys like Jonathan Sanchez, listen, who understand that the average person, when they come to church, they've decided within 7 minutes that they're ever coming back. That means they don't even choose a church based on theology, but how they feel. Are they welcomed? Are they loved? Which means there's a sermon, listen, before this sermon. And John has a spirit of excellence, making sure that you are loved and welcomed before you even come into this room. There's people like Sarah Goodheil, listen, who doesn't just babysit our kids for the last 10 months. She's speaking life and faith over our children. That even though, you can clap for her, even though those kids don't know what they want to do when they grow up, she's telling them that God has a plan for their life, that he has a destiny for them, that they're called and they're gifted to do something great for their life. That's the spirit of excellence. And what I want to show you in the scriptures is where this thought, where this idea comes from. Listen, in the same way that I went to Excellence Playa Mujeres and I was never the same, I want to show you the man in the Bible whose faith is so exemplary, you will never be the same. Go with me to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. And it begins, in the third year, in the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the vessels of the house of God. Let me set the context up for this. See, Daniel is a Jew, but he's going to be taken over by Babylon and dragged into Babylon. He's going to be a citizen of Babylon. And to give you some context, God wants to be the God of Israel, and he wants them to be his people. There's only one problem, though, is that Israel wants the side chick. Someone DM'd Israel on Instagram and slid in and took the relationship away. Imagine for a moment that you see a girl in elementary school and you fall in love at first sight. And then you begin to date her in junior high and she's your high school sweetheart. And then you go to college and you get married and she's the love of your life. And then one day you come home from work and she's there with another guy and she says she's leaving. That's what Israel's doing. God gave his life to bring them out of Egypt, and now they don't want him anymore. And in Jeremiah, it says that God says, I divorce you, Israel. You're so unfaithful to me that I'm just going to let you go with that side chick. If that's what you want, go. And imagine God's the one whose heart's being broken. God's the one that pursued when no one else saw the beauty of Israel. God says, I'm going to make you beautiful. And this entire nation abandons God. And as soon as God turns his back on Israel, as soon as he removes his hand of blessing, Nebuchadnezzar comes in and besieges them. That's the context. Next verse, with some of the vessels of the house of God, and he brought them. So Nebuchadnezzar, not only does he besiege Israel, he takes all the holy things of God, them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and place the vessels in the treasury of his God. Next verse. Then the king commanded Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of nobility, youth without blemish, of good appearance, and skillful in all wisdom. Let me try to explain what Nebuchadnezzar, this dictator, is doing. He's essentially doing what's called a brain drain. He's taking their best, their brightest, the smartest, the best looking, and he's taking all of them out of Israel, and he's bringing them into Babylon. And then he's going to spend the next 3 years indoctrinating them, corrupting their mind to believe that their God isn't real. What little faith these men do have, listen, it's going to be squashed in Babylon. I believe this is the very picture that we're in today. Silicon Valley is the most unchurched region in the entire country. 95% of the people in this valley do not know Jesus, and every day it's increasing. Not only that, the 5% that do believe, 60% of them are de-churched, which means that those that claim Christ don't even want to go to church anymore, more than half. And how do you have a faith in a valley that doesn't believe God anymore? In the same way that Daniel has a faith when his whole country doesn't have faith. And when you see what he does, listen, it will inspire you to do the same. And it continues. Endowed with knowledge, understanding, and learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace. These are the men that Nebuchadnezzar took. And to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. So in 2 Kings chapter 24, it talks about who Nebuchadnezzar took. It says that they only count the men in those days. It says that they took 10,000 men. Imagine the women and children that weren't even counted. And I say this because Daniel, who's going to be mentioned in a moment, is between the age of 12 and 17. He's a youth. He's not even counted among the men. Imagine he's not the only one. There are thousands of other young men that are going to be taken out, and their faith is going to be squashed in a hostile environment. How do you have faith when everyone's persecuting you? How do you have faith when it's dangerous to have faith? Look what he does. The king assigned them a daily portion of food that the king ate and the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years. At the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. This is a long education process. Among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, of the tribe of Judah. And the chief of eunuchs gave them names. Daniel he called Belshazzar. I think I'm saying that right. Hananiah he called Shadrach. Mishael he called Meshach. And Azariah he called Abednego. One more verse. But Daniel resolved. He made a choice that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore he asked the chief of eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And look at that verse. It says that God gave Daniel favor and compassion. I thought God left. I thought God abandoned Israel. Listen, excellence doesn't just inspire people. Listen, it honors God and attracts him. And there are some of you here this morning, you wonder if your obedience even matters to God. Let me tell you, he sees all of it, and it inspires him and honors him and brings him closer. There was a great pastor in America. His name is Jonathan Edwards. And he was responsible for creating one of the first great revivals in America when America was turning away from God. And he was quoted as saying, "I'm going to obey God, and even if no one else does, I still will." See, the spirit of excellence says, "I'm going to obey God even if no one around me does." How does Daniel walk into a country with a language he doesn't know, with a people he doesn't know, and find favor not only with the king, but with God himself? Listen, he did it because he sought the favor of not of a king, but the king above that king, the king of kings. Listen, there are some of you here this morning, and you wonder, does God see your hidden obedience? Does it even matter? And I'm here to tell you that he sees all of it. When those moments in life where you want to quit, press in, keep praying, keep seeking after the things of God. Listen, because he will place his hand upon you. He will place you on platforms that only God himself can place. And he will open doors that only God can open. Yeah. Of course it matters. Listen, Daniel had a spirit of excellence. And some of you say, Allie, you're just giving him that title. You're just calling him that. God says that about Daniel himself. Read this verse with me. In Daniel chapter 6, then Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was within him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. See, there is something different about obeying God because you're going to get something back from it. There's something different when you're going to obey God just enough where it's comfortable. There's a difference, though, when you're going to obey God, even if it costs you. See, Daniel asked God, asked the eunuch above him, "Give me favor. I don't want to eat this food." And his life could have been taken from him. Yeah. My question for you this morning is, if you were to self-evaluate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, who are you when no one's looking? Yeah, that's the real mark of maturity. It's easy to obey when other people are watching. Listen, I'm a pastor. I'm paid to be good. Most of you guys are good for nothing. Come on now. See, people are watching me. I'm forced to obey. Everyone's eyes are on me, but who are you when you're home alone? What are you doing when no one's seeing you? Those moments when it's just you and God and you wonder, does it even matter? Listen, the spirit of excellence says, I don't care what the world around me does. I don't care what status quo says. I don't care what my best friend says. Listen, Daniel was one of four men, in a sea of 1,000 Christian men. And these were the best. And he says, I'm going to obey God even if no one else does. That's the spirit of excellence. And what I want to tell you is when I read this verse 10 years ago and I saw the context and I saw the man, I said, I want to have that. How do I build cultivate a spirit of excellence in my life? And listen, that was the very same spirit that helped plant this church. Listen, how do you plant a church in a valley where this is a graveyard for church planting? Listen, I was part of a course with 8 other church planters. A year ago, 5 of them have already closed their doors. And we're thriving here. In a valley where it says you're supposed to die. Listen, I want you to develop a spirit of excellence so that your marriage will change, your finances will change, your kids will change. Everything about your life will change if you can cultivate this, a spirit of excellence. And if you're taking notes this morning, they say if you take notes in church, you're more likely to go to heaven. I'm not sure if it's true, but I'm gonna take notes. And the first idea is this, that excellence is a choice. Yeah. Excellence is a choice. See, sometimes we think it's only for the select few. It's for the pastor. It's not for me. Or we think it's a spiritual gift that I haven't been given. I can't obey the way that you did. Pastor Ali, when he rips open his shirt, it says S. Come on. Maybe I have a stupid shirt underneath there, but it certainly doesn't say S. See, sometimes people disqualify themselves from following God because they think they have to be mature to have excellence. See, excellence is a choice that in every season of your life, you're going to give God back what he's given you. No matter how insignificant, no matter how small it is, in the eyes of man, it's great in the eyes of God. Listen, let me give you an example. My daughter is 2.5 years old. And when she was 3 months old, you know what excellence looked like? Keeping her head up. And when she was 6 months old, you know what excellence looked like? Sitting up. And when she was 8 months old, I made her do squats so she could walk at 9 months old. Listen, excellence looks different in every season of your life. Listen, the job that you have today, I hope you don't work it the same way you had your last job. Because excellence will always demand more of you. See, excellence isn't a destination. Excellence is a journey to following God no matter what season of life that you're in. You're going to give him your best, not because you're going to get something from it, but just because you want him to be honored. That's the spirit that Daniel had. My question for some of you this morning is, do you obey even when no one's looking? See, excellence will go the extra mile. Will go the extra mile even if it costs you something. It goes the extra mile in the way you forgive people. It will go the extra mile in the way that you love people. It will go the extra mile when you speak love to people even when they're persecuting you. Yeah. Love will go the extra mile because when no one is looking. See, excellence is different. See, excellence, sometimes when I say the word excellence, you think I'm saying the word perfection. See, perfection is a destination. It's a place that you think you arrive at. It's a place that when you get there, you just maintain. Excellence is something you actually never achieve. Because in every season of your life, you're giving God more. You're giving him more obedience and going after him more. See, perfection is what religious people do. See, when you're going after perfection, you put a mask on because you know you're not perfect. You come to church and you hide your addictions. You hide your porn problem. You hide your alcohol problem. You hide your marriage difficulties. Because your goal in reality is perfection, not excellence. See, excellence talks about your issues. Yeah, I might have fallen down. But excellence gets back up. In Proverbs 24, verse 16, it says this. It says, the righteous falls down 7 times, but rises again. I love that it says that the righteous falls down. He didn't say that the sinner falls down. He didn't say that the man who doesn't go to church falls down. He didn't say the jacked up guy falls down. He said the righteous, the guy who goes to church, the guy who reads his Bible, the guy who serves God, who loves God, gives everything to God, still falls down. See, perfection will paralyze you from coming to church because you will never feel good enough. Perfection will overwhelm you with your past because it'll say it's too big for God to forgive. Perfection will say the obstacles in your life are too big to ever overcome. Excellence is different, though. Excellence will be open about your mistakes. Yeah, I've fallen down. Yeah, I've made some mistakes, but my God, his mercies are new every morning. Excellence says, yes, you may have labeled me, but my God has chosen me and he's called me. He has something great for me. And even though, listen, that I have fallen down, I'm going to get back up. Excellence is a choice. Daniel, made a choice. Listen, if you think I'm telling you to pray harder and pursue God more, you're missing the point. Daniel was a sinful man, no different than anyone in this room. He was jacked up and messed up just like the rest of us. He fell multiple times, but he had a vision of a greater God. That's why he kept coming up. Just in the same way my daughter would keep her head up at 3 months. And then he kept walking with God. And when she was six, she would sit up. Listen, Daniel's faith changed with every season of excellence. And my question is, are you the same person that you were a year ago? Wow. See, excellence demands that you grow in your faith. Yeah. Yeah. That this is what I did last year, but I want to get better this year. Yeah. See, excellence changes. It doesn't stay stagnant. Yeah. Number two, if you're taking notes, excellence is built through relationships. See, Daniel had a dream team. Yeah. Takes teamwork to make the dream work. Yeah. And I see so many Christians that try to do Christianity alone. It's like trying to play basketball on a 5-on-5 game and you're the only one on the court. It's impossible. It's designed to be played with other people. See, this is why at Center Set, we lean into community. We lean into life groups. Some of you need to sign up with your Connect card for life groups that are going to stall at the end of September. Because you can't do life alone. This is why we take Sunday so seriously here. Because something changes when we gather as a community. Something changes inside of us. I dare you to gather on other believers and watch the impact that they have in your life. Did you know that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not their original names? See, Nebuchadnezzar was smart. He knew if he can change your identity, he could change your activity. Because all of your activity is first formed in how you see yourself. See, The Lion King, I love that movie. Simba has an accident, right? And then he goes to the forest and he's living Hakuna Matata, which is basically Little Wayne's YOLO, by the way. And then the father comes to him and says, Simba, don't forget who you are. He doesn't condemn him for his activity. He gives him a new identity. You're a king. And see, when the Israelites, when they would name themselves, they gave themselves an identity that was greater than the names that the world gave them. Let me give you the original names of these three men. Hananiah means Yahweh is gracious. Mishael means who is like our God. And Azariah means our God always comes in help. Listen, these are the men that you need in your life. When you're about to quit, they'll come and remind you, God is grateful. These are the people that when you want to throw in the towel because everyone is compromising their faith, they'll remind you, God is faithful. These are the people that when you're being persecuted for your faith, when everyone around you is compromising, they'll remind you, you were born for this. You can keep doing this. And they'll remind you not to quit. Those are the people that you need. Excellence is built through relationships. Even the mother of Jesus, listen, needed a dream team. Mary was a 14-year-old, Justin Bieber-loving, Snapchat-consuming girl with braces. And even though she said, I'm going to follow Jesus, even though he's going to be in my heart, I'm going to follow him. Listen, she was persecuted. See, in a culture where everyone got married and then had kids, she became the town whore. Yep. When she claimed that she got pregnant by a virgin birth. Yeah. Come on, Mary, just tell us who the guy was. Come on, maybe we're kissing each other and you went too far. Just be honest. And she would say, no, this is a miracle. And listen, she was persecuted. She went from being the good girl to the whore. From the town, village that everyone's faith wanted to model after, she became the black sheep in her village. At the same exact time, she had a relative named Elizabeth, who also had a miraculous birth. Elizabeth, we don't know her real age, but the Bible says that she was past the age of childbearing, which means she got hot flashes. And it's not from like seeing the Warriors add Boogie Cousins and like, oh my gosh, this is a dynasty, like hot flashes. Those are real hot flashes, by the way. I had them. I know. Spirit-filled people are saying amen right now. She was past the age. How does this woman who's already gone through menopause give birth to a child? A miracle. And yet, she's being persecuted too. And look what it says in Luke chapter 1. When Elizabeth and Mary meet each other to encourage one another. It says this, a few days later, Mary hurried because she was being persecuted. Listen, you only need friends in the valley. You need friends when you're being persecuted. You need friends when you say, God, I'm going to follow you and I can't do this alone. She hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived, which was Elizabeth's husband. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leapt within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And look what she says to Mary. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed, God has blessed you. People are persecuting you, but God is gracious. Yeah. God is faithful. God's the one who's going to come and help you. And the child within you is blessed because he's the savior of the world. Listen, you need a dream team. Yeah. If Daniel needed a dream team, if Mary, the mother of Jesus, needed a dream team, you need one. Yeah. Listen, I needed one too. See, it was 2011 when I got the vision to start this church. I didn't know where, I didn't know how. And the vision didn't become clear until I met this hot woman in the front row named Yasmin. And it was 2013, listen, when God began to give us a vision for a church for the unchurched. And you would think my pastor at the time would love this vision. Only when I shared it with him, he actually threw me out of his church. I was now the traitor who wanted to start a different ministry. And listen, it would have been easy to quit at that point. It would have been easy to say, you know what, this is too hard, I don't want to do it. And there are some of you here in this morning, and I just so believe you're hearing this message, and you're saying, excellence? I'm facing impossibilities, Allie. Yeah, my marriage is falling apart, my finances are a train wreck, my job sucks, and you want me to be excellent? I'm not even sure I believe in the Kool-Aid, and you want me to drink it with excellence?
Come on.
Come on. And I'm telling you, you're blessed. Because it's the thing he forms in that season that changes who you are. Yeah. Listen, it was in that season where I had to relearn how to spend time with God and not write a sermon. Yeah. It was in that season where I had to learn to get deeper in my relationship with God through fasting and prayer, not because my pastor told me to, because I wanted more of God. Yeah. It was in that season, listen, where I had to learn to forgive even though I was labeled the traitor. It was in that season where I had to learn to walk with God. And listen, I theologically believe that you and I are spiritually blind, dead, and lost. It's God that pursues us. But there's a season when you're in the pit that you will pursue him above all else. And there are some of you here this morning, listen, and you think he doesn't see what you're going through, and he's building something in you, and one day the trial will pass, but what he built in you will remain, and you will walk louder, you will walk bolder with more faith than you ever have before, declaring that God is faithful, that God is good, that God can take anything in your life and do great things with it. Listen, if Daniel needed a dream team, if Mary needed a dream team, listen, even I needed a dream team. I would have quit in that season if it wasn't for Pastor Yasmin, if it wasn't for her prayers, for her encouragement, for her to be in my corner saying, God has a plan. He's going to work all this out. Listen, watch what he's going to do one day. And here I am, that same church that threw me out, now they're one of our financial supporters. They're one of the people that pray for us every single week. When I wanted to shut the door forever, God said, Yasmin, spoke through her and said, keep it open and watch God do a miracle. Those are the kinds of people that you need in your life. Because even if you say, I want to follow God with everything, you listen, you cannot do it alone. Yeah. Daniel made a choice. Daniel had a dream team, and listen, Daniel had the conviction of God. Yeah. Daniel had this third point. Excellence is aided by God's conviction. This is one of the most misunderstood things in Christianity. Listen, conviction is just the spiritual understanding that God, because he's a person, is going to speak to you. Yeah. See, religion says do this and do that. Relationship says, because you're unique and because I know you better than anyone else, I want you to remove this from your life. Come on. See, conviction is not about sin. Conviction is about good things that sometimes we make God things.
Yeah, so good.
It's actually holding us back from the greater thing. See, it's an impossibility to follow God and not have him speak into your life. Daniel had conviction. He went to a country that was completely godless, surrounded by Christians who had abandoned their faith. And God spoke to him and said, I don't want you to eat that food. And Daniel had a personal conviction and he said, no. And then he went to his boss, the eunuch above him, and said, please, please let me eat fruits and vegetables. Hey, I'm a meat lover. I'm like, why would you ask that? Now everyone does this Daniel fast, which is like crazy. Why can't we do the meat fast, like the triple meat fast at round table kind of fast, right? But Daniel said, I want to do just fruits and vegetables and test me in this. If I'm not stronger than the other men. See, that's conviction. When you listen to God and do what he says, and you don't follow what other people says. See, religious people will take a personal conviction and they'll place it on you. And you're like, why am I doing this again? Like my old pastor, I love him to death. He hated UFC. And he said that when he watched UFC, he would become violent. Listen, I love UFC. I love watching stupid people break their faces open. I just love it. I love The Walking Dead. I love Harry Potter. That's just me. I love EDM music, right? Those are my personal convictions. The Bible says that everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. See, when you follow God, he's going to speak to you, and you're going to walk with him. He's going to say, you need to focus on this for a while. And you need to remove that. And then you're going to walk a little bit longer because excellence always demands something different of you. He said, I want you to focus on this now and remove that. See, that's conviction. See, conviction is meant to build you up, not tear you down. Yeah, that's good. But it's misunderstood. This is why some people say, ooh, I can't wait to put this podcast on for him when he's in my car. This is a sermon he needs to listen to. See, that's not your responsibility. See, conviction is between you and God. It's a one-on-one relationship where he speaks to you what he wants from your life. And let me give you an illustration to explain the power of conviction. So several years ago, like I'm talking like two or three, Harvard University created a test where they could discover the potential in a student regardless of their past background, regardless of their grades, and they could determine if this student was special and had something great for his life. And Harvard went to this elementary school and said, let us administer this test to everyone in your first and second grade, and we promise you that when we come back a year from now, those students will be the best students. They administered the test to the first and second graders, and they identified these 20% are the best of the best. And they came back a year later, and those 20% of students, listen, were the most studious, the most well-behaved, the best students in the classroom. And the teacher said, this is the best test we've ever seen in our life. And Harvard looks back at them and says, it's a fake test. It's not a real test. We picked 20 students, 20% of them at random. This is a test not for the students, but for the teacher. See, when the teacher sees you as special, you're going to rise up to the level that he sees you at. I just believe that this room is full of people that their entire life have been told, you're not good enough. You're not thin enough. You're not smart enough. You're not wise enough. You're not good enough. You're not moral enough to do anything special. And I'm here to tell you that there's a God in heaven who sees everything, every sinful, every stupid thing you've ever done. And he still says you're special. And see, conviction isn't meant to beat you down. And he wants more from you than just 20 points higher on the IQ. He has a life of excellence for you. See, some of you here this morning and you think, I just need to pray harder, go to church every week and read my Bible, and then one day I'll be like Daniel. Daniel was a messed up, jacked up man just like me and you. But he had a vision of a God who saw him as special. And Daniel gave God his best because God first gave him his best. See, Christianity, everything that we do is a response to who God is. God loves us, so we love him. God gave us his best, so we give him our best. God died for us not when we were good, not when we were his friends, but when we were sinners. That's the spirit of excellence. That I'm going to give God my best because he gave me his best. It's always a response to a God who sees more for you than you see for yourself, who sees you as special. And if you allow him, listen, you'll go to higher heights. You go further than you ever thought. He'll open doors that no man can open. He'll put you on platforms that only he can place you on. See, most people say, well, try harder. Christianity says, look harder at the God who sent his son to die for you. That when you give him your best, listen, every act of obedience done in his name, he will put his hand upon you and give you favor. And it's that spirit that started this church, which is why I want us to read excellence is our essence as a church. If you guys can stand up, we're going to read this declaration. Because this is the spirit of this church. This is why excellence is our essence. On the count of three, let's read this together, church. We give God our best because he gave us his best. Excellence honors God and inspires people. This is our spiritual act of worship. If you guys can close your eyes and bow your heads, I'd love to pray for you this morning. I just so believe that there are people here today that this sermon convicted you, that God has been speaking to you about areas of your life where you can give more and serve more in light of what he's done for you. And I don't know what's holding you back, but listen, there is a teacher in heaven who sees everything you've done, and he still sees more. He still sees special. And if that's you, you said, yeah, I want to go further in my relationship with God. I want to have a spirit like Daniel. I want to be like one of his friends, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If that's you this morning, with every eye closed and every head bowed, would you just raise your hand? I'd love to pray for you this morning. That maybe today your faith is different. Maybe today you want to have a spirit of excellence. That you want to be different. Because those that you raise your hand all across the room, put your hands down. Just repeat after me. God, thank you that you gave your best when I didn't. I don't want to obey you out of personal benefit anymore, God. I don't want to obey you even when it's comfortable. I want to give you my life because you first gave me yours. God, surround me with people. Give me a dream team that will help me on this journey. And God, speak to me. Speak to me through conviction. Speak to me in the areas of my life that I need to remove that are holding me back from the destiny that you've created. With every eye closed and every head bowed, I just so feel led to pray for those of you that are distant from God, where the weight of sin is upon you and you feel separated from him, far from him. Listen, God, Christianity is so different than every other world religion. You don't have to do anything to be loved by him. You don't have to do anything to be brought near by him. He did it all. He sent his son to live a sinless and perfect life so that you could be brought near. All it takes is a relationship. All it takes is, I want to know this God. This God that's been pursuing you your whole life. That pursued you even before you came into this room. And there are some of you that you would self-identify as a Christian, but you still, it's been years since you've been at church. And you want to rededicate your life to him today. And I want to give this time for that. With every eye closed and every head bowed. If that's you, if you want to say yes to Jesus for the first time today, if you want to rededicate your life to him, regardless of your past, regardless of what you did even last night, God doesn't care. He just wants a relationship. Would you be willing to raise your hand? You're not saying yes to me. You're not saying yes to this church. You're saying yes to Jesus. You're saying yes to the one who died for you when no one else saw, who died for you when no one else said you were good enough. If you can just pray this prayer with me. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for paying my penalty of sin. I receive your death on a cross as payment for my sin, Lord. Because you gave it all, from this day forth, I want to give it my all. Give you my all. God, fill me with your spirit. Can we celebrate, church? Amen.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope this message impacted you and inspires you to draw closer to Jesus. Subscribe to this podcast and give us a follow on Instagram at Centerset Church to keep up with all that God is doing in our community. Also, we'd love to be in prayer with you. If you have any prayer requests, please send them to info@centerset.church.